Turn tonight to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter number 1. I want to read the first three verses of Joshua chapter 1, preaching tonight on the subject, getting through the changes of life. And there are some little tidbits or little things I would mention tonight that hopefully will help us all to deal with the changes of life. Now, Joshua chapter 1, beginning at verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun." Now, that means that Joshua didn't have any parents, so he's the son of Nun. Or if he did have parents, his mother must have been a Catholic. Yeah, I'm just trying to be literal. Of course, now, actually, no, his father was from Ephraim. Father was from Ephraim. He was a son of the man by the name of Nun from Ephraim. Moses' minister saying, look at verse 2. "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses." Let's pray. Father in heaven, tonight we come to thee in prayer. We pray along with the prayers that have already been lifted up, uttered tonight, on behalf of these needs that the names have been called. We pray tonight for the White family. You would have helped them, Lord, to get adjusted. And Lord, we just pray that you will deliver this world from the COVID and that ministries will be able to go forward. And I think of the Whites, the prayer letter, and Lord, the way that things have been impacted there in that part of the world as well. But bless Kevin and Beth and their family. And then, Lord, tonight, the names that we just shared were given to us by our church members on the prayer needs this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, you alone can really work things out in a way that will be a good way as far as these needs are concerned. So, Father, tonight, bless each one of these whose names we've called. Give us a good service tonight, and we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, we want to talk about getting through the changes of life. Every single one of us knows something about life's changes. We constantly are living in the midst of change. Change is occurring in our lives, in our bodies, in our homes, in our nation, in the world, in our families. In almost every way, shape, or form, we're seeing change occurring constantly before our very eyes. It's been said that the only one who likes change is a baby. And there, I believe, is probably truth to that. But now, life is about change. We have a tendency, as human beings, to lump change into two major categories. We call them either bad changes or good changes. We tend to put them in two categories. But now, aren't we glad tonight to know this, that God doesn't change? And that's good, isn't it? We can say that's definitely a good thing in relationship to change, is the fact that God doesn't change. Change is undeniable. We cannot deny that it's occurring. Change is also unpreventable. We cannot prevent it from occurring. Change can have both a negative and a positive elements in different ways. For example, our physical bodies, the aging process. And change can have positive or negative elements in these physical bodies of ours. We either can grow old and be cantankerous, or we can grow old and be graceful. So change can be positive or negative in terms of that area of our physical development. Change is resented many times because change takes us out of our comfort zones. We get so used to doing things a certain way, to living in our homes, and just developing patterns. And changes sometimes can be threatening because change takes us out of our comfort zones. Change, and here's a positive thing about change, change is anticipated. The Bible says we shall be changed. Now I like that type of change. I like that prophetic change that's coming, don't you? We shall be changed. Our bodies are going to be glorified. Change is a part of spiritual development. Growing in grace is a changing experience. As we grow in grace, we're changing. But that's certainly good. We need that type of change. Ministry requires change. Preachers are called to preach. Preachers, some of them are called to be missionaries. They have to make geographical changes. They have to travel across the ocean and serve God in different countries. And ministry requires change, even in this country here. People in ministry have to leave, have to move their families. And there are geographical changes that occur. I think of what the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 28, where the Bible says all things work together for the good to them that love God. So things have to do with change. When he says all things work together, things still have to do with change. Now, by way of introduction, we note some changes right off of the bat when we look at this book. For example, the book of Joshua. There are some things here that we see recorded in the Bible that indicates change. We see this is a new book. Joshua, new book. I've read the first verses of this book. This book follows the Pentateuch, the five books of Moses. And so this book itself is a book reminding us of change. Israel is being transitioned into another place in their life. Israel is being transitioned into a greater aspect of God's leadership. It's about change. This book follows the wilderness experience. Israel has been in that wilderness all of those years, but now they go into the land that God has designed, and they are to settle down. So the book itself implies change. This book concerns a completion of what God had started. All of those years had been led through the wilderness. They're moving towards the promised land. But now they go into that land. It includes a completion. This book includes a commission. And this book includes a condition. They have to be obedient. As Israel goes into the promised land, they've got to be obedient. They've got to obey the Lord. The book of Joshua corresponds with the book of Ephesians. The two books kind of overlap. Joshua, Old Testament, Ephesians in the New Testament. Both of these books remind us of a similar truth. We're blessed with spiritual possessions, but we have practical possessions requiring conflict and faith. In the book of Ephesians, Paul lets us know that we're blessed with spiritual possessions, but yet, as God's people, we still know conflict. We still know challenges. The book of Joshua, Old Testament, gives a similar thought. So now, something else I would mention. The book is new. The change is occurring. They go into the land. They have a new leader. There's a change of leadership. And as I've mentioned, Joshua now, the son of Nun, a man from Ephraim. And what can we say about Joshua? Well, Joshua, he'd been a slave. He'd been a slave. You say, how, preacher? Well, by the way, he'd been in Egypt. So Joshua had been a slave. He was a slave born in Egypt. Joshua also is a man that's going to be a soldier because he's going to lead the people. He's a soldier that's been proven. He's a soldier that's perceptive. He's a soldier that's prompt. He's a soldier that's been promoted because he's going to be the leader. Moses dies. Joshua is brought on the scene and Joshua is going to be the general. He's going to be the leader. He's a person that has superior traits, superior qualities, because he's the very man that God would use to lead Israel into the promised land. So we see a new book. That's change. We see a new leader. That's change. We see a new land, which I've already talked about. A picture of spiritual rest, but a picture of victory. We're reminded of what Paul says. We're seated in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. So now, Israel, they've been delivered out of Egypt. They're prepared to enjoy Canaan. It's impossible. And here's a point. Moses represents the law, right? He represents the law. Now, the law can't take them into the new land. Moses is dead. The law can't take them in. Aren't we reminded tonight of Jesus Christ in contrast to Moses? Now, Moses is dead. The law can't lead them into the land. And then something else I would mention too, we see a new direction. A new direction. I'm going to ask you again to look with me at our text. Verse 1, the Bible says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, we see a new direction. We notice the announcement of a dead messenger. Who was it? Moses. Moses was dead. But oh, isn't it great tonight to know that even though Moses was dead, God wasn't. He was dead, but God wasn't. And I'm going to say a little bit about that in just a few moments. And here's something. Don't you know Israel really was sorrowful over the death of Moses? They had to be. Imagine, as long as Moses had been among them, had led them, had been a part of their lives. Now he's dead. He's dead. You see, death affects people. None of us can handle it well. And I don't think we're supposed to handle it well because we're human. And we have physical, emotional ties with one another. So you know, Israel must have been in great sorrow. But God is saying, in spite of that change, in spite of the loss of Moses, keep going. Keep going. Which would lead me to say tonight that one of the best antidote for sorrow is constructive activity. Instead of sitting around and pining away and grieving ourselves to death, keep going. Moses was dead, but God raised up a Joshua. I've known some people who literally almost pine away totally when loved ones are taken, when friends are taken. But you know, we got to keep going. Amen. Constructive activity is so important. And then note something else. We see here a new direction, the announcement of a dead messenger. Then we see here the assurance of a definite manifestation. God isn't through with Israel. They are heirs of God, you might say. God will manifest himself to his people. Then thirdly, there's the anticipation of a difficult mission. What was it? Well, try this on for size. What about Jordan? They've got to cross the Jordan River. And would you know that the Jordan River was in flood stage? Do you know the Jordan River, the water wasn't down when Israel was to cross over. The water was up. And there's a reason for that. You see, it's God that's going to give them victory through the waters across the Jordan. And so what it would do, by the fact it's in flood stage, then that would give more glory to God. Because the people would know that the only way, since it's in flood stage, that they're going to be able to cross the Jordan is God's going to have to get them safely across. Now, it would have been a lot different if the water had been down and they could simply walk across the rocks, go over, you know, without a lot of a major issue. But the water was up. And so what that does, that gives more credence to the miracle of what God can do. May I say tonight, when the times are the toughest in our lives, that's the time that God can do the greatest things. And He'll get the credit quicker. When we absolutely face those circumstances in life where we absolutely cannot do anything. Where we come to the conclusion, if it gets done, God's going to have to do it. And so I see that here in this point. Now, dealing with the changes of life, how do we do it? What are the keys? Life from birth to death is a continual sequence of change. Infants enter into the world, leaving the comfort of their mother's womb, but they had to in order to grow, to develop, and to live out their lives. An infant fights the process of physical birth. They kick inside the womb. They've had to comfort near their mother's heart for those months inside the mother's womb. But now it's time for them to be born. And in a way, they show they don't like it. They've been comfortable and warm and protected. They come into the world screaming, usually. It's amazing. People sometimes come into the world screaming and they go out screaming. And they scream all in between. But anyway, but once they're born, then they can start to grow, start to develop, start to mature. They've passed through the birth canal, which was necessary. We live our lives. We come to the end of our lives. There's another, you might say, birth canal that we face. We fight the process. We fight passing through that birth canal. No one likes to die. We fight the process. But God takes us through it. And just as when we were born physically, we're placed in a position that we can grow and develop and mature. When we pass through the birth canal, so to speak, into eternity, then again, for all out eternity, we're able to keep developing and living and praising God and so forth. But we have to again go through that canal that we do not like. You know, that's life, isn't it? Life has its continual sequence of change. If a child lives through the average lifespan, imagine the volumes of books that could be written dealing with the changes of life. First birthday, first tooth, and then first time the tooth is pulled, we still have the tooth of our son somewhere, don't we? First boy or girlfriend, first date, graduation from high school, entrance into the military, first job, first car. Then there's changes that we call sad changes, death, health, national issues, but change. Many people have a hard time dealing with change. I see some good principles outlined here that can help us through change. And by the way, the Bible is our best resource book to get the advice anyway. It's helpful to know. Here's something that's helpful to know. And let me kind of say this is sort of the upfront little tidbit. It's helpful to know that every single one of us are in the same boat as far as change is concerned. Now, depending on our age, the times that we grew up, especially the teenage years, are very formulative years. I think I got that right. We're fond of our teenage years for whatever reason. They're challenging years, testing years, exciting years, high school, dating, things like that. And let's be honest tonight. Even when it comes to music, we have a tendency to gravitate to the music of our teenage years. And I think of the 60s, my teenage years. I think of the songs that were sung, and I hear those songs today, and I reminisce. I go back in memory. I remember not only the song, but what surrounded that music of that era. And we think of all those young people, let's say the young musicians that presented that music. I'm using the 60s as an illustration. And we look back. We say, where has all of the years gone? Where has time gone? And then we pause for a moment and we realize that all of those youthful people that sang those songs and the people that made up our generation, they're in the same boat we are. They're looking back. They're saying, where has time gone? You know, that's kind of comforting. Because this journey of life, we all are in it together. And but there's still, we fight against change. And we crave for the good old days. Last week, just so you'll know, I think some of you already knew this. Last week, we drove to an area in Pennsylvania where Carol and Bernie discovered America. That's where they came into this world. Many changes we saw visiting that area last week. Many family and friends are no longer there. They've died. They've moved away. Change was so obvious. The grocery store where they used to shop is no longer there. The old bridge they used to trot across as little kids going to school and back is no longer there. The home place is still there. Yes, it is. The high school is still there. Darien Area High was the school these girls attended, high school. But now the mountains look the same, though. They haven't changed, and Ethel Lake is still there. I know all y'all know where Ethel Lake is. But you know, while it may be sad to get to the place of nothing but memory, it's helpful to know that everyone is aging at the same pace, and we're not alone at all in remembering the way it was. We all are remembering the way it was. But you see, when God brought us into this world, God had developmental plans for all of us. We had a life to live. We had a chart, that a course of life that had been charted out by divine providence and God's leadership. So we go through life. But now, looking here at this book, though, how do we handle change? What are some things? What are some concepts? What are some principles? What are some little tidbits that helps us get through these changes? And boy, oh boy, some of them we don't like too well. We don't. But there are some things that will help us through them. Number one, I would suggest this thought tonight. Life goes on after death. We see that principle. Moses is dead, but God raises up a Joshua. Life goes on after death. God's plans go on. Moses is dead, but that did not impede the plan of God for his people. So you see, that helps us in the face of death, in the face of losing precious family members and friends and so forth. We draw from this. Life has to keep going on. That's what we see here. The sun doesn't rise or set on any one human being. Moses was a great man, but now he's dead. And Joshua now has his part to play. Now, note something in this verse. The Bible says in verse 1, it came to pass. I've come to appreciate that little simple short statement. It came to pass. I find that to be a rather encouraging statement. Let's look at it like this. Again, it came to pass. We face problems. Well, it'll come to pass. We face tests we have to take. They'll come to pass. We face challenging things in life. They'll come to pass. I remember when I was in high school, I've told you folks this before, but I'll say it again. Probably the greatest fear that I had in high school as a student was giving oral book reports. I literally, for weeks ahead, would worry myself to death about giving oral book reports. And I can remember one time I got up to give an oral book report and I literally lost it. I forgot what I was going to say. My knees were knocking together. I was scared literally to death. Now, I'm going to lay one on you. You think you already know this. You've read my biography. The very thing that caused this fella to quit high school and go into the Marine Corps was I had an oral book report scheduled that I could not get myself to give. Did y'all know that about me? Oh, I regrouped later on when God saved me and I got back into education. I got it all done, plus a little bit more on top of that. But the very thing that I feared the most in life would be the very thing that God would use throughout the major part of my life, namely public speaking. I guess you'd call this public speaking tonight, couldn't you? So I'm just, but the point was, things come to pass. Things come to pass. That's encouraging. So now, that statement, it came to pass. Now look at it like this. Here's a point. 100 years have come to pass in the history of Smith Grove Baptist Church. 100 years. All the previous preachers are gone, including multitudes of members, friends. Oh, don't we have so many precious memories of our church? Oh, I'll tell you what, sometimes if you dwell on that alone, it can be very discouraging to think of all the precious family members. Everybody in this church have been impacted by the loss of loved ones that have taken place. And our church, though, 100 years have come and gone, but yet the ministry goes on today. The ministry goes on today. So life goes on after death. And so I think that's a good principle. Secondly, Moses was dead. Here's a good one now. And you can apply this to every one of you that know the Lord for sure. Moses was dead, but not gone forever. In fact, someone tell me tonight, where did Moses show up one time? Mount of Transfiguration. Moses showed up on the Mount of Transfiguration. So you see, he was dead, but not gone forever. He showed up. And by the way, you and I, when we die as a Christian, we're not gone forever. We might be gone from this earth. But I'm going to tell you what, we're just very much alive. Moses' books keep surviving. We still have the Pentateuch, don't we? Moses' legacy keeps on surviving. He's living now. Right now as I preach, Moses is living. So you see, tonight it's encouraging to know that in the midst of change, those precious people that have been in our lives, they're not gone. They're still living. That same young, let me put it like this, that same young husband and wife who once in Derry, Pennsylvania, raised 5 girls, they're just as much alive today, though the old township has changed. Isn't that encouraging? just as much alive today. And then I want you to note something else. Here's a good point. The Lord's still alive. Verse 1. You know, when we go through change, remember this. The Lord's still alive. The Bible says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass, the Lord spake. The Lord's still alive. I love Isaiah 6, verse 1, that says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. When the king lost his friend, King Uzziah, he looked up. He saw the Lord on the throne. So God is still alive. God didn't die with Moses. Moses was dead, but God didn't die with him. He didn't die when all of our family and our friends have died. God didn't die. And I find that to be encouraging. Quickly note something else. Number 4, we are to rise and go. Look at verse 2. The Bible says, Moses, my servant, did now, therefore, rise, go over this Jordan. We must keep rising. We must keep going forward. We've got to keep doing it. We go forward, keeping the faith, keeping the principles, keeping the convictions, and yes, keeping the joy. We just keep it all. Keep on keeping on. Moses might be dead, but God said to Joshua, keep going. Lead them over. Be proactive. Make progress. Be vigilant. Be strong. Keep your joy. And I'd say that tonight. So we must arise and go. We don't give up. We never give up. We never quit. We keep going. And then number 5, we must go forward the proper way. And I must be sure to mention this. How in the world did Israel cross over the Jordan River? You Bible students know how they did it. They followed the ark, didn't they? The ark was bore by the priests, and Israel followed the priest. They followed the ark. Now what about the ark? The ark spoke of divine presence. It spoke of divine provision. It spoke of divine protection. It spoke of divine promise. They followed the ark. In the changes of life, let's cross the Jordan. Let's go through the changes. But let's be sure to follow the ark. And I'm talking about the Lord. I'm talking about Jesus Christ, who is the antitype or the fulfillment of the ark. We follow the ark. Israel crossed over because they followed the ark. What about the ark again? Within the ark was the tables of the law. Within the ark was a mercy seat. Reminding us of something. Reminding us that we need divine government and we also need divine grace to get through the changes. So within the ark, you had the tables of the law reminding us of government. You had the mercy seat reminding us of grace. So we need government and grace to get through the changes. They followed the ark. Excuse me one second. This would be a good point for me now to take a little drink. Feel a tickle coming on. Number 6, getting through changes. Here's a good point. We're responsible for each other. Verse 2. Look at it, please. Therefore, rise, go over this Jordan. Now, I think y'all know why I'm saying that. Well, how did they go over? They all went over together. They went over together. They didn't willy-nilly do it alone. There was some organization. They went across the Jordan together. They supported each other. You see, when it comes to the matter of what we do for God, it's a family project. The church is a family project. We have family here. We have members here. That implies unity. We watch each other's backs. That's what we do. We watch each other's back. This helps us get through changes in life. We work and serve God together. And we watch each other's backs. We certainly do the opposite of what our government just did in Afghanistan. the government wasn't watching the backs of our people over there, were they? Or was it? Well, we do. We watch each other's backs. We don't leave fellow Christians behind. We don't do that. We edify, we lift up, we encourage, we support. It's helpful to go through the changes and enjoy one another in that process. In fact, people help us through the changes. People encourage us. Christians encourage us. You see, we need one another. God has designed the local church to fulfill a unique role. We're a family among a lot of other things. A family. Now, would you agree with me tonight that family members support each other? At least they should, shouldn't they? So you see, a church. That's why we need church. We need togetherness. Israel went over together. So getting through changes, we edify one another. Then number seven, God gives the provisions, but we have to claim them. Verse number 3. Look at it, please. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you. That have I given you. I like that. God gives us what we need to go through the changes and what is needed for the new land. God gives us what is needed. When we go through the changes of life, God gives us what we need to get through the changes. He said, that which I've given you. He would give Israel several things. Protection, strength, stamina to deal with the enemies of the new land. And God does the same for us. There might be giants in the land. And if you read your Bible, you know there were. You had Amalekites, Jebusites, Canaanites. And throw in a few parasites, maybe termites. You had all kinds of them in the land. But you see, and you and I deal with giants, don't we? They're in the land. There's hurdles we have to cross. But in the case of David of old, God always directs the stones to the head of the giants and give us the victory. God's always going to be bigger than our giants, isn't he? I don't care where we are, where we're at, what we're going through right now, what the changes of life might consist of, God's always going to be bigger than our giants. Do you think for a minute that 2021 is any surprise to the Lord? Do you think that this caught God off guard? What the church is facing, what Christians are facing, what we go through individually, this didn't catch God off guard at all. How could it? It's good to know that, isn't it? That way we can make it through the changes right now that we're dealing with. While we have our fond memories of the past, we, by God's help, can have the assurance that our present, and I'm closing down with this, I'm bringing it to a head right now. Here's something to think about. Precious memories, how they linger, right? Boy, don't we have a lot of them. Especially this being the 100th year of our church's history, we have a homecoming in many ways of all homecomings thus far. Precious memories, how they linger. How they flood our souls. When we look back and we think of this church, precious memories. Oh, we've got a unique history around here. But you see, while we have, and here's my point, while we have our fond memories of the past, we, by God's help, can assure that our present times become a better experience for tomorrow's memories. The history of Smith Grove Baptist Church goes on. I don't know when Christ is coming back, but you know what? Let's say that this church is around for another 100 years and Christ hasn't come. Now, fast forward 100 years from now, all of us will be gone, right? Amen. But now looking back, what about those 100 years from now, say, along the way, as the years come and go and we progress forward, they remember us. Let's say people will remember us. What are they going to remember? Here's my point tonight. By God's help, we right now can be assured and can be blessed to know that our present times can become even a better experience for tomorrow's memory. Here's a question in closing we need to ask all of ourselves. What can we do today to make tomorrow's memory our best memory? What can we do today to make tomorrow's memory our best memory? You see, memories haven't ended. What we do now will count for tomorrow's memory. Our life now, lessons we're learning now, getting through the changes now, keeping our chin up, keeping our joy, keeping our stability, keeping our faith, will be another precious aspect of tomorrow's memory. To look back and to say, God gloriously helped me through that difficult change I had to go through in 2020 and 2021. To be able to look back and say, praise the Lord. God was so good. He was so real. He was so powerful during those years that were so trying. Today can very possibly, by God's grace and our trusting Him, provide a better memory for tomorrow. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us, Lord, to take these principles, simple principles, and Lord, more gracefully, graciously, and faithfully get through the changes of life. We're glad, Father, that even though Moses was dead, you weren't. And dear Lord, Israel had to keep going. We thank you, Father, for all that you have done, are doing, and will do. Bless the invitation and meet all of the needs tonight in all of our hearts and all of our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to have an invitation song. If you just feel the need of coming tonight and praying at this altar, you do so as Brother Jim leads us in a